So welcome to this IDPE podcast series. My name's Philip Rothwell, Deputy Chair of IDPE, and I'm joined by Ian McQuillan from the Rugare think tank. Would you like to just tell us what this think tank is and what you do?
Oh yeah, so Rugare, as you said, it's the fundraising think tank. It's Latin for to ask. And very briefly, the role of Rugare, it's trying to do two things. It's trying to rethink fundraising by having a more robust evidence base and theory base of fundraising, so there's better knowledge, and then it's changing the learning culture with fundraisers so they better appreciate and better value that knowledge, so that they can employ better theory and evidence in making better policy decisions in the sector-wide fundraising, but also in their day-to-day work.
And you're here today speaking about ethical issues and you're working on that, and we're very pleased at the annual conference to have you closing the session, closing the conference about ethics. But these kind of issues arise in fundraising all the time. Questions of ethics about money, what to do with it, how to apply it. Can you share with us some examples that you know of ethical dilemmas facing fundraisers in schools?
Yeah, well, we do a lot of work on ethics at Rugare, and we try to develop a new theory of fundraising ethics, especially for the profession. And I've only now really just started applying that and working in schools fundraising. But what has already seemed to me is that there's a difference about what's considered to be ethical or an ethical dilemma in schools fundraising compared to mainstream non-profit and charities. So fundraisers in general charities, they're really concerned about what their ethical duties to their donors are. So that, you know, they're concerned that they don't contact them without their consent. They don't use aggressive or guilt-tripping fundraising methods. They try and bring meaning to their philanthropy and do what's right for them. In preparing for this session, and I ask people to send me what their ethical dilemma were, there seems to be a difference. A lot of the ethical dilemmas that schools fundraisers seem to concern about are not about their duties to their donors, but more about how their donors' behaviour might impact on the school. So things about reputational damage, influence on staff appointments and things like that, getting preferential treatment in return for donations. So there's a lot of the big things that seem to be coming out. And then there's other things that are not necessarily with individual donors, but as you see, you've got commercial access to students, so you have the thing in the States with the pouring rights that you'll get money in return for exclusive access to selling soft drinks to your kids. So that's the one thing that's I found interesting about this. Now, our theory for mainstream charity fundraising is, as I said, a lot of the ethical duties are all placed on fundraisers' duties to donors, and we thought this excluded beneficiaries from the picture. So we tried to develop something called rights balancing ethics, whereby you've got a fundraiser has duties to both their donors and their beneficiaries. So fundraising is kind of ethical when you can try and deliver your duties to both, but they're in balance, so that you you get that balance right, so one stakeholder isn't significantly harmed vis-a-vis the other one, because if you do things the donor might want you to do, you could end up raising less money for the beneficiary.
Can you point to any examples when this sort of balance of rights between donors and pupils has gone, or beneficiaries has gone badly, and perhaps an example where it might be a good situation?
Well, yeah, I mean, one where it's gone very badly. So a lot of the time this will be happening at a sectoral level, a policy level. So in your day-to-day interaction, you know, it's a good rule of thumb. You know, what would the donor want in this situation when you're dealing one-to-one with donors? When it comes to a policy issue, it may not be so easy. And a classic, what's going to become a classic example is with GDPR, how a lot of charities have kind of rushed to try and get consent because they think that's what donors want to do. They think that's the right thing to do by donors. And of course, they've asked for consent, and a lot of donors have withheld or not given that consent, which now means they can't contact them when they could have contacted them using legitimate interest. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are going, oh God, no, GDPR. But that means that because of this, some charities, smaller charities, have lost 90% of their donor base. And that's going to significantly harm on the revenue that they can bring in. And that's also going to, you know, harm their beneficiaries. Where things are, you're trying to define what would be the interests of the donor, you've got a lot of the regulatory bodies are standing out looking after the donor. So I think for a lot of fundraisers' perspectives, you've already got a lot of codification about what are the right things to do for donors. But if you look at this differently, you might get a case, and this was a great case delivered by Alan Clayton at the IOF convention, Institute of Fundraising convention a few years ago, where a hospice wanted to approach a donor whose child had died at the hospice as their fundraising materials. You might have thought, we can't approach that person, it will be like intruding in their grief. But another way to think about what the duties we owe this person the duty you might owe them might be to help them celebrate the life of their child and help them to do something for the organisation that supported them through that time. So that's the way you can think differently about ethics that might not give you the outcome you thought you had.
That's fascinating. A lot of IDP members are senior leaders in development, but also lots of heads, bursars, governors, of course, they deal with the compliance issues of their schools as a charity. So I just wondered, finally, if you could give, do you have any tips, particularly aimed at the senior leaders, heads and governors perhaps, that how they can ensure they're prepared and ready to respond when faced with ethical dilemmas around fundraising?
Yeah, I think there's some things you can do. So if you're going to deal with an ethical issue, you have to understand some ethics. And a lot of the time, problems that we find in the charity sector are generally, and I would imagine, coming to this relative new, I would be surprised if this didn't happen in the school sector as well, is that people try to solve ethical dilemmas without understanding any ethical theory. And you have to be able to do some theory. Otherwise, you do tie yourself in philosophical knots. And if you can just understand even some basic ethical theory, like the right thing to do is what has the best outcomes or conforms to a moral norm, consequentialism versus deontology, that's a start. I would say as well, then try and use some specific ethical theory to fundraising. So I said earlier that the rights balancing ethics is marrying your duties to donors, and fundraising is ethical when it gets the right balance, such that neither the best outcome, mutual outcomes, and neither is significantly harmed. What I'm leaning towards for schools is that you can develop, you can have benefits for your donors, provided the balance is that they don't interfere on how that education is delivered. So then what you can start doing, I think, is to start building those things into gift acceptance policies based on sound ethical theory and understanding, but not just general specifics of fundraising. Because the other problem charities have is that they don't prepare in advance. So they're not prepared by understanding ethics, they're not prepared by having a gift acceptance policy, and something hits them and they run chasing their tails, making up as they go along. You can guess, you can have a good idea what's going to hit you, and you can prepare for it. And the third one is that take your subjective opinion out of this. What's ethical isn't probably what you feel you ought to do. There's theories around this going to help you decide. And if you follow a sound ethical decision-making framework, you'll have an outcome, a decision that you can justify, and it won't just be based on your feeling, it feels right to me.
Oh, thank you very much. And yes, well, Ian McQuillan from the Regari Think Tank, we're very grateful for you giving your time. There's so much to unpack here, and we look forward to your session as well.
Yeah, thanks very much.